Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen the pilot episode of 2012's The King of Van Nuys, which did its rounds on the internet a few months back, and you've been like chomping at the bit to see it and you don't want it spoiled, I highly recommend not listening to this episode at about the halfway point, but you can listen to us talk shit up until that point. But also, if you have been chomping at the bit to see the 2012 pilot episode of The King of Van Nuys, fuck you.
Right in.
That's let us fucking know. That's so full on. Just watch it.
Let us know why.
Why are you holding off?
I want to know
off?
Who you are.
Yeah, who are you? Not yeah. Fuck you. Who are you?
Yeah,
I'm fascinated.
I want to get to know you. I want to know.
I'm fascinated, but I feel negatively towards you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, spoiler warning.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, kind of fucking tick. Pretty little cornstarch. My werewolf, man. Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where for about 3 to 4 years, people are watching everything starring an actor they like named John Leguizamo. I'm one of those two people. I'm Zach Ruane. You might know me from being in a sitcom, you could argue. We tried to go with narrative for the second one, but never a sort of traditional sitcom. I've never been near one of them.
Yeah.
I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mish Witchrup, who you might know from...
I did a lot of work with a comedy group for a while, and then when they created a Netflix comedy show, I wasn't in it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah. Thank you. Let's... We can get into that.
I reckon we can just jump that.
We're in LA. I mean, we're joined, not as always, a very special guest. I wrote down some things for the intro. Listen, you might know him as one third of Skills in Time or one of the stars of the Fancy Boy variety show, but I'll always know him as Ethan Crumb in season 2 of The Tourist. It's Greg Larson.
Yes, hey, thank Greg. You. I also have been in a, you might have recognized me in a show, another show, something, you were in it as well, that was on the ABC, sketch adjacent narrative comedy sort of, and yes. I was in a little bit playing the candy shop man.
You were the candy shop man in that. Tons of people watched that. Of people watched that. You were in that. You're also in The Weekly.
I've been a guest on The Weekly.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
Oh, and The Daily, Todaily.
The Todaily. The Todaily, Tonightly. Tonightly. Tonightly.
Tonightly. Today.
Today. Today. I was on Today Tonight as a neighbor.
I was fucking with my neighbor's fence.
Yeah, I was fucking with the fence. I had a dog that was just going crazy. I had garbage everywhere. And when they came to my house, I was just in like Sylvester and Tweety silky boxes drinking a rum and coke. And I chased the camera crew down the street going, "Get the fuck off my property!"
And that's how I'll always know you.
Yeah.
That's Mish's always. Yeah, we got to get that
the
guy.
The Tourist
off.
Is good or whatever.
Yes.
But that was some good shit.
That was the real shit.
Yeah. Do you know I actually know somebody whose like aunt and uncle were on a current affair for a neighbor's dispute?
Really?
They were the ones who had the dispute with their neighbors.
Oh,
and my friend was so deeply ashamed that their aunt, I'm like, and I get it.
Yeah.
But their aunt and uncle wrote into a current affair and was like, our neighbors have piles of garbage in their backyard that's attracting rodents, and those rodents are now breeding that are now coming into our backyard. And they did a 15-minute segment on these two people from Carnegie.
That is incredible. I also know someone who was on a current affair.
Yeah.
My father.
Is this true?
This is true. He was on it briefly because my father was a police.
He was a dodgy fish and chip shop. Oh, yeah. Wait, so your father was a police?
Oh, he was a police. He was in the police.
And
yeah.
He was on a current affair.
He was on a current affair when they did a story about corrupt cops. No, he was on... That's a little buddy cheeky. That's a little cheeky jibe. ACAB, though. But he was on when they had... So a current affair, it could have been Today Tonight. It was one of them.
Yeah.
They had filmed... a woman who was Australia's most notorious drink driver who had her license suspended, and then they'd filmed her like going to a pub
and then
driving the car, and then handed the tape to the cops.
Yeah.
And then my dad was the cop that they handed her.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The jumped her in the pub.
And he was just standing there, and then someone hands him a tape and he just looks at the camera going, "Hey." and then they were like, "The cops did nothing." And then the cops were like, "Yeah, you've handed us a tape that anyone could have made of anyone.
There's no evidence here.
That's
like,
not evidence of showing someone going to a pub and then driving a car. Yeah. There's no evidence that they've drunk drove.
Genuine hypothetical. You're at home, right? You're at home. You're home alone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You knock on the door open it and it's a current affair crew.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Right, so we're here to ask you some questions. Someone's called in and said you've been a bit of a bad man."
Yeah.
What is your instinct reaction? Do you slam the door? Do you answer the questions? Do you take off down the street?
So unfortunately I know what I would do in that situation because I was in almost that situation.
No.
And it bothers me. I still lie in bed awake at night thinking about it.
No.
Not that I was a bad man. I was bad man adjacent.
Oh. Yeah.
There was in my street a fire that was caused by bad man or men throwing Molotovs. Wow. Like literally like opposite my house.
Yeah.
And I heard a knock on the door and it was Channel 9. They had a camera crew and everything. And they were saying, "Can we ask you about this? Can we talk to you about this?" And my initial reaction was one of fear and confusion and just going, "Sorry." And then I was just like, "People will recognize me. They'll know where I live. Like, I don't like this. I don't know what to do. I'd just woken up." And I said, "I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable talking to the news." And they said, "Yeah, fine, whatever." And they walked off. And it was about 30 minutes later after I'd had a coffee that I went, I could have been one of those cooked units on the news describing, like I could have stood there with my shirt off in my front yard going, "And then they've come up, right? And gone fully doors. And the flames like, and I'll chase him down. I'll got my cricket bat out. I was going, "Get here, you bastard." And I could have been,
You could have been the tick-tick boom girl.
Yeah. I could have been the tick-tick boom girl. Yeah. I could have done it.
Do you know the tick-tick boom girl or whatever was literally, like, I mean, I think it's probably quite clear now, but was just playing it up. Like, she just was like, "Yeah, all right." And everyone was just like, "What a stupid bitch. I can't believe it." I'm like, no. Yeah. This, she got accosted by a camera crew and she's obviously a little bit fucked up on a night out and was just like, "All right, well, I'm going to have fun with this, you fucking idiot." Yeah. And then everyone was like, "Yuck, most hated woman in Australia." It's like, no, if you think back, chick boom girl was just like, "Fuck you."
Yeah.
This is great.
Australian of the year.
100.
Australian of the
year. Where is she
what
now?
What a legend. What an absolute legend.
And that could have been you,
It could have been me. If I had had my coffee, I reckon. It's like, don't even talk to me before I've had my cup of joe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
We get it here.
Don't even.
But I can't stop thinking because that's my dream.
Yeah.
That's my dream, is to be a crazy guy on the news.
To actually be
on there. That's always been my dream. Not a crazy guy as in like, comedian Greg Larson had a meltdown on stage, but just I've tricked them into thinking I'm a local neighbourhood character.
Yeah, and you could have like that.
I could.
Channel 9
They were
news,
there at my door. They came to
that
me.
That was, you were so, yeah, they came to you. They didn't came have to me. Mouth.
I've spent time thinking about how I would scheme and scam a current affair, how I would get them to come to me and film me. I've spent time thinking about it, and this was my chance, and I didn't take it.
Well, that's
rough. That's like a beautiful story.
Yeah.
You'll spend the rest of your life thinking
wondering
about
what
if it happens
for you,
again.
It's a dream. For me, that is one of my genuine, it's a genuine nightmare I think about. It's my Roman Empire, right? I think about it at least twice a week, the idea that, like, I open my door and there is a story about me being some piece of shit. And no matter what I do, I can't get out. If Current Affair is at my door and that skinny little liberal cunt is there being like, no, answer the questions, Mish. No, answer the questions, Mish. You did this and I didn't do anything wrong. You will forever, there's forever going to be a group of Current Affair lovers. And that show gets views still, by the way. That show, people watch it. They will forever think that I'm a piece of shit because that show decided to make me look like one. You know what I mean? It's a genuine fear.
That's a little irrational.
I don't want to pass too much judgment here, but I think you've got skeletons in your closet. You know what I mean? Like, that fear is too...
I have spent years hiding them. My fear is that someone will find out that I keep garbage bags in my backyard. Or,
she's got human fecal matter in her bedroom. Like, that's
the poo lady of Australia.
I mean, so I'm petrified that people are going to find out that I sell dodgy secondhand cars. You know what I mean? And when everyone finds that out, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I reckon I'd be of the smarmy... I reckon I'd be the smarmy smile school, you know?
Okay.
Just see. No, mate, no comment on that one. You know those ones? Those guys, I love those ones.
Oh, that's... I've heard about this, and I've never been able to find the footage, but I heard... What's that Hey Dad guy?
Oh, yeah,
Robert Hughes?
Hey Dad guy.
Yeah.
I heard there was like one of the... Someone accosted him with a camera, you know, back when it was all kicking off before he was in jail. And he didn't know what to do, and he pulled his like sunglasses down and went, oh, hey, mate. And I want to see that so bad. I don't know if it's real. I've heard stories of it, but I've never seen the footage. I want to see that footage more than anything.
I love that. I also just want to note that you just said, you know, that Hey Dad guy looking for his name. And I was like, ah, yes, Hey Dad guy.
And then
I immediately said Robert Hughes, as if I don't know the Hey Dad. Like, Hey Dad guy. I think Robert Hughes is his name.
Giant portrait tattoo of him on your pec. Yeah.
God, that was a bad day for you because you always loved Hey Dad. I remember Comedy Festival 2012, Greg was like, you seen Hey Dad?
Guys, seen this show called Hey Dad, man? I got it on DVD. Come out. Have a watch. Let's have a marathon.
It's funny and it's wholesome. We're like, we get it, Greg.
It'll never go out of style. That's the cool thing about Hey Dad. It'll always be relevant.
You guys love your MASH and your friends.
I actually don't think I've ever seen an episode of Hey Dad.
Really? Well, you should check it out. Now's the best time.
DVDs of Hey Dad are as rare as hen's teeth.
Hey, it's got a 5.6 on IMDb.
I bet Robert Hughes. I bet there's people out there that are legitimately still defending it. Like, just being like, it was a good show. Don't let the artist get in the way of the art.
Yeah. there's been at least 5 serious debates about whether we can separate art from artist in relation to Hey Dad.
Hey, 100%.
Yeah.
There's so many people that were just like, nah, fuck that guy. He fucked up. And then Robert Hughes gets done. They're like, I think it's really important that we recognise that Hey Dad was actually quite a cultural phenomenon and we've got to respect him for that.
It was a watershed moment in the Australian media landscape. You know?
Oh, rough. Greg, are you a fan of John Leguizamo? Do you know who John Leguizamo was before this podcast?
Absolutely, I knew who he was before this podcast.
Oh, great.
And I love him. I genuinely love him. I think he's like a cool... Yeah. He's a cool guy. Yeah. He's just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Would you hang 4 years of your life off doing a podcast about him?
Not a chance.
Okay, so we're about halfway.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think about it. I think about it for a second and then I go, nah. There's got to be something else I can do as a podcast. There's got to be something else.
It's like anything else.
It's like Romeo and Juliet's good, but you guys are fucked. What the fuck? Yeah. Well, no, so often we have people on here who have no idea who he is. So it's really nice to be able to put you in the pool of people who actually knew who he was.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but he was in, what's that recent movie, Chef Man?
Chef Menu.
menu.
The menu. Yes, yeah. You've been in two chef men. Two iconic recent chef movies.
Chef man movies. What was the other one?
Chef. Yeah, he was in Chef as well.
Was that the one with, what's the other guy?
Jon Favreau.
Yeah. He wrote and directed it and cast the two most beautiful women in Hollywood as his love interests.
Yeah.
Like, listen, it's been fun, Scarlett Johansson, but I got to get back to the my marriage with...
Sophia Vergara. It's like, oh, it's so annoying. My wife, Sophia Vergara, she loves me so much. She wants to fuck me all the time. But now this new girl who's working for me, Scarlett Johansson, she wants to fuck me too.
I got
to
stop living in fantasy land with Scarlett Johansson. I got to get back to the mother of my child, Sophia Vergara.
It would be cool if the movie ended with him suddenly breaking the fourth wall, turning to camera and going, also, now we're Polly.
And the final credits run with them just having hard sex. Hard, early 90s we're thriller full sex. Polly.
We're full Polly. It's a beautiful story about a father reconnecting with his son after putting his work first. I really liked it until he looked down the barrel of the camera, brought in Scarlett Johansson and Sophia Vergara and said he was Polly with them and then gave them both a kiss that they kind of reluctantly went with but didn't love.
And then there was like text that said, and then the chef was real good and his restaurant was great and he was Polly with two babes forever.
The chef had the biggest dick.
The biggest fucking dick you've ever seen.
Scientists tried to steal it, but he was like, no way. And he made them a meal and they went, fuck, that's such a good meal.
Oh, so funny.
And yes, he was in the menu.
He was in the menu and he got a century in cricket.
And the final shot is just him making out with Sophia Vergara while Scarlett Johansson rubs his back in approval.
And there's text, more text that says back rubs? ? Yes, please.
And we're okay with
it. I imagine there's a lot of back rubbing in poly relationships.
I'm sure.
Just a lot of like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm in it. I'm in it too. I'm having a go.
Just a lot of
like a lot of shoulder shrugs. Going, I don't like you as much. I don't actually like you as much.
You're not as much.
And then ironically, the person in the back rub is the person that's going, I wish this was not a poly relationship. I wish this was just me and you.
It's one of my...
Does it have to be poly?
It's one of my favorite things in the world is watching interviews with poly couples.
My favorite. I was about to say.
And
so
my
good.
Favorite genre is confident woman and two nerdy boys.
Oh, yeah. That's a good genre.
It's the hot gamer with the fluoro green hair and two guys that are about a four.
Yeah.
Yeah. That are a bit too skinny.
But together they make an eight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
And they just worship her. Yeah. Well, she is the hottest thing they have ever seen. And they worship her.
And there's
her.
A layer of like they'd rather not, but they'll take it. They'll take it.
They definitely rather not.
Those interviews, like where they go into their homes and stuff. She's like, so tonight I'm spending it with Jared, but tomorrow night I'll be spending it with Daniel. Good night, Daniel. And Daniel's just kind of sitting by himself in a lounge room on one of those leather couches that's old, so the leather's loose. And he's like, oh, bye, babe.
Sleep on the couch. And they close the door like the Godfather. He's just sitting there, can I have a...
And then they interview Daniel. And they're like, how do you feel about this? He's like, I'm open to it. She's got a lot of love to give. I don't want to hold her back. And he's just clearly so depressed.
Oh, man. That reminds me of this show. And I don't know what, like, I have to re-look up this show. It was a show that was cancelled after, like, four episodes.
Mm.
And it was about adults adopting adult children.
Right.
Like adopting people that were already adults and saying, I'm your legal parent now. Like you never had a child.
Is it like a reality show?
It's a reality show. And it's like this couple, right? There's this man and a woman who are adopting a woman who's from like England. They're in America. They're adopting a woman. I think she's from England. And she's a full woman. She's an adult woman who's
is she
in her
pregnant?
No, she's not pregnant.
Oh, okay.
She's in like her, she's young, but she's not like a teen. She's in like her 20s or something. And the couple, they are older and they never had kids. Mm. And they were like, we always wanted to have kids and it's too late for us to have kids. And we'd like a relationship with an adult who is our daughter, you know, and can be our daughter. And like, she's going to come over and she's going to live here and she's going to live, like, we've got like a trailer outside and she's going to stay with us. And the whole time, you know, I'm looking at it going, who's the one who's into this sexually?
Yeah.
And then at first I'm like, maybe I'm just being too gross. Maybe I'm being too cynical, you know, whatever. And then the man said, oh, look, I am worried about falling in love with her.
Yep.
And the wife was like, yeah, we did try this once before and they fell in love and had an affair. But I've forgiven him now. And like, now we're just, it's just going to be
bizarre.
Like just adopting
this adult woman. How did that show only do 4 episodes?
I don't know.
I have to find this. I got
what is this show called? I can't remember what it's called. It's called like Adopt Me
Daddy.
Adult Daddy Kid.
Adopt Me Adult Daddy.
Adopt Me Adult Daddy.
That's where it fell apart was the name.
Adopt Me Adult Daddy. Ooh woo.
That's not what you think.
That's actually a really, that's a good idea for a podcast. A podcast called Adopt Me Adult Daddy.
Yeah, we make it work.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. That's the full title. Yeah, Adopt Me. Greg Larson's new podcast. You'd only do it if you could get like the backing of a really big podcast network.
Yeah.
Greg Larson's new podcast, Adopt Me Adult Daddy. Ooh, ooh.
And each week I'm there dressed as a baby and I have a new adult daddy that I'm
interviewing. This week it's Usher Goodsberg.
And I keep stressing it's absolutely not a sexual thing. This is a pure like joy of parenthood.
And then about 7 minutes into every episode, you're like, I know when I was going to be adopted internationally, this is the luggage I'd want to take. It's like a really spenny sponsorship.
Each week, Greg Larson tries to convince a different Australian celebrity to adopt it.
Fuck, I'm annoyed.
You get like Grant Denyer.
Yeah.
Sonia Kruger.
I'm so annoyed that I just started a podcast and it's not this.
Well, you can just incorporate that.
Yeah, I can start.
You've got an RS feed now. Just chuck them in.
Just on Thursdays, on whatever day your main podcast, you got your main.
Yeah.
And then on Thursdays, you put out Adopt Me Adult Daddy.
Well, it'd be funny if my show sort of slowly transitioned into that. So, like, just like little things change week to week. And then by the end, people would be like, remember when it was just a podcast? That wasn't a man getting different daddies to adopt him. And like, not
would
really.
Would you have the guests on, or would it just be a message to that guest?
They gotta be on.
Yeah, they come on. Yeah,
they have to. It has to be like recording from the moment they enter the room. Like someone else has to take them there.
Yeah,
and the room's all set up, ready to go, and they don't know what the show. They think the show is called the Greg Larson Show. Yeah. And then it's all recording. There's 20 videos. And the door opens and there's just signs everywhere and like screens everywhere that have a graphic of me in a baby's costume and it says Adopt Me Adult Daddy and I'm on the table.
In an adult diaper.
In an adult diaper shaking a bottle at a rattle. And they open the door. We have to see their reaction. And they come in and it says Adopt Me Adult Daddy. And we have to see how many celebrities don't just walk out. Like how many will go, okay, I'll do this.
I love the idea that like the your producer's like, hey, just with these Oscar campaign at the moment, Mark Ruffalo's interest, but it will but he does want to do it over Zoom and you're just thinking, can we do this?
It's impossible to do it over Zoom. Yeah,
it's just the idea of like a Mark Ruffalo type on Zoom just being like, okay.
And at first, like, the screen's not working. He's like, sorry, I can't see the screen. And we're like, oh, okay, sorry, I think something's frozen. Like, we're not getting it up. And then and finally he's like, oh. And then he just disconnects.
I like just personally disconnect. The idea of just getting a bunch of B-grade Aussie celebrity. Yeah. David Campbell, get him on. Sonia Kruger. Yeah. Kerri-Anne.
Yeah. Kerri-Anne.
Kerri-Anne.
Would Kerri-Anne adopt? Let's find out this week if Kerri-Anne will be Greg Larson's adult daddy.
I would place
daddy.
A solid fitty on her walking out. David Campbell would stay.
Yeah, David Campbell.
David Campbell sitting down with us.
Who's David Campbell again?
He's Jimmy Barnes' son.
He's a nice guy.
He's a really nice bloke.
I'm sure he's cool.
He'd adopt you.
He'd adopt he would you. Adopt he'd stick you. Around for adult the pod daddy. At least. Yeah.
But I do love the idea of just like, oh man, it's always in room. We've always preferred it to be Australian celebrities, but Robert Downey Jr. wants to promote Oppenheimer. We'll get him for 20 minutes. I think it's worth it.
What would be, okay, no, this is the ultimate version of this, right? The ultimate version is that Robert Downey Jr. comes in for a podcast and it's a room exactly like this
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
There's a host and he sits down. There's a table in the middle. And for 20 minutes or so, he talks Oppenheimer. Yeah. He talks about, you know, his struggles as an actor and the next phase of his life. And as he's sort of talking, suddenly a light starts, like a red light starts flashing. And they're like, oh, sorry, just sorry. And then the table goes, and there's like smoke and stuff. And it opens up. The table opens up and slowly I'm raised up on a platform in a nappy. And then just slowly signs start coming down that says adopt me adult daddy. And then finally
the door's locked.
Yeah, the door's locked. And like guys come in with like sort of riot shields and block all access out. And then it's like and then the host just without sort of making a big deal about it goes, now for the adopt me adult daddy portion of the podcast. And then I try and convince him to adopt me for 5 minutes. Then when he says yes or no, I go, okay, thank you. And then just slowly get lowered back down. The table closes, the guards leave. And he's like, so anyway, we're talking about the third stage of your career. I think that's the version.
Oh my yeah, god, that's so
that
good.
That has to happen yeah. somehow.
Greg, I don't know you how can to take that. If you want yeah, to you can make that a one. Segment on your
yeah.
podcast,
yeah, I
feel
will.
Free.
Whatever you want, you're
yeah.
welcome to have it.
Yeah, like yeah. I just want to say yeah. unequivocally here, yeah. like for the record.
That one's yours.
That one's yeah. yours.
Cheers.
That one's yours.
Cheers.
I'll take the next this one, but awesome. That one could be yours.
Yeah. After the break, we're going to say whether we would adopt Greg. So stick around and then we'll be talking about King of Van Noise.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. Yes, I would adopt Greg.
Sure.
Thank you, daddies. Ooh, woo.
And then you lower back down. And
thank you, daddies.
I really like the idea of when you come up, there's a lot of effects.
Yeah.
But when you go down, there isn't.
I like the idea of all the effects as you're coming up and then it stops flashing lights and you're sitting at the table and then you just spend 5 minutes, which is quite a long time, trying to convince this celebrity to adopt you. All right, so look, I'm clean. I do my own dishes.
I'm very clean.
I don't love hot showers, so I won't use all the hot water. And then just, woo-woo.
I also like the idea that it's easy to make the table open automatically, but really hard to make it close.
Yeah.
So for the rest of the interview, you can just sort of see you in some shots.
It's open. It's about 3 centimeters, and you can just see my face peering out. Just a total blank stare. Just a complete blank stare.
And you have to go really tight against the bottom to make sure you're not in most of the shots.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Thank you, adult daddy.
Thank you, adult daddy.
Of course, the daddy's an adult. Why is it adult daddy? Like,
adopt me, adult daddy.
The daddy's the only one who, by nature of daddies, the nature of daddies is that they are adults.
Daddies are adults.
They are adults by nature.
One of the key touchstones of becoming an adult.
Touchstone. Adult daddy.
Oh my god.
God.
That's okay, adult daddy. That's if they say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, no, adult daddy.
Oh,
whoa. Oh,
man.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that was
goodness
great.
Gracious me.
On that incredibly happy note.
Yeah.
I think it's time we talked about the pilot episode of The King of Van Nuys.
Yeah.
If you guys are ready for
it.
Yeah,
I'd love to. Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So we found this clip on YouTube. Thank you to everyone who sent it to us. We had a lot of listeners go, you have to watch this.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. So here's the blurb about The King of Van Nuys. The King of Van Nuys pilot episode is a 2012 American remake of a highly successful British sitcom called Only Fools and Horses. The biggest difference between the original and the remake is that the original ran for 7 seasons and won multiple awards, and the remake, The King of Van Nuys, ran for 1 single pilot episode and has a total of 7 Back to the Future callbacks. The King of Van Nuys stars John Leguizamo as Del and Dustin Yabara as his brother Donnie. Together they try a bunch of get-rich-quick schemes, but we only see one of them because the show only lasted for the pilot episode before it was dropped harder than Doc's fall from the clock tower in Back to the Future. Christopher Lloyd plays their grandfather. The same Christopher Lloyd from classics like Adam's Family, The Pagemaster, and Back to the Future. As stated earlier, John plays the slick, wisecracking Del. I'd say it's Leguizollywood era, but it's more like Dad Guizamo in a Leguizollywood suit. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You can watch this pilot episode on YouTube, and you can watch Back to the Future on Netflix.
Great.
So there's a lot right in the title. I don't like. Remember, this is an American thing. I was like the King of Van Nuys, but then they pronounce that Van Nuys.
Yeah, it's Van Nuys.
Van Nuys. Van Nuys.
Why did they pick a place that was had a spelling that looked different to the? It's already you're already on an uphill battle, you know.
Yeah. Like, okay,
the King of Queens.
Well, it's almost like
which already exists. No, maybe but that's avoid what I'm King of. Yeah. Really, that's, you've destroyed it.
It's worth noting as well, I think this is correct. I only read one thing that said this, so I didn't actually check my resources or anything. But this was actually pitched a few years before the pilot was released and it was rejected.
Mm. Yeah.
So they pitched it to a bunch of networks, the same cast. The cast was on board, got a bunch of rejections, like, sorry, no one wants it. And then a few years later, they pitched it with the same cast again and the one network said, we'll give you money for a pilot.
Yeah.
And then they made this pilot and it never aired. And they were like, we can't, no, you can't put this on. Have either of you ever seen Only Fools and Horses?
No, it's not one I've seen. And I was like, oh, I should watch. But I feel like if I'd watched one, I wouldn't. It sounds like you've got to watch at least a few seasons to get it.
Yeah.
From what I gather, because I have also have not seen it, but from what I gather, the only similarity is that it's two brothers trying to make money.
Get rich quick.
And that's, see, that in and of itself... It's quite funny to see, you know, a network or producers or whoever, I don't know who fucked it up. I don't know who in the process fucked it up. But the premise isn't terrible.
No.
Two brothers doing get-rich-quick schemes. Mm. Each and every week, it's another zany scheme.
Yeah.
Zany schemes are fun.
100%.
Zany schemes are fun. And even the zany scheme they have in this, in isolation, on paper, isn't a terrible way to get a few little chuckles.
Mm.
Which is the zany scheme is he buys a DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
Monster truck version.
But a monster truck version of the DeLorean.
Yeah.
Now, we need to be very clear here.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you think, oh, that's a subtle little reference to Back to the Future. Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's fun. I wonder how they make... they don't play it subtle.
No.
No.
Because it's like, it's almost like they were like, we need a big name for the grandfather, right?
Mm.
They're like, well, we can get Christopher Lloyd.
Mm.
And the person who was like, who made the decision, the final decision to cast him, knew him solely from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Like, was just like, oh, that's the doctor from Back to, that's the guy, Doc, not Doctor, that's Doc from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Without actually considering this legend's entire filmography. And then they proceeded. So the episode goes for 22 minutes. There are 7 references to Back to the Future. That means that like every 3 to 4 minutes, they did a Back to the Future reference.
And it It's baffling to imagine the mind of a human being that would make in the pilot episode.
The pilot episode,
something that you do in a show when you are just about out of ideas.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Yep.
That's what happens when you're like season 8 into the show. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, what if they get a DeLorean and then they say the actor Christopher Lloyd's name and they say, isn't Christopher Lloyd dead? And then Christopher Lloyd says, I think he is dead. Like, that's the joke you make when you are out of ideas and you're like, let's just break down the fourth wall.
Yeah, and
let's
I'll say just something
get rid
you,
of it.
100%, you don't bring it up. You don't bring up that Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future is in the show. Because when you do, it makes people go, oh, that's funny. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, they just did a Back to the Future reference and that's Christopher Lloyd, haha. Like, they did it in Will and Grace, right? I've never watched the show very often, but I believe there was a character that always did a Cher impersonation. That was their whole shtick. And then right in the last season, Cher was on the show for like 5 seconds. Saw the impression and went, that's not a very good impression. That was the joke. And he's like, oh, whatever, and walked away. And it's like, that's done very, if you brought Cher in at the first episode. That's such a good point.
But even then, like, it's totally breaking the format of the show. It's like, it's even more than that because the actor playing, who's saying the words Christopher Lloyd is Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
And, like, it's maddening that you can, there are so many get-rich-quick schemes in the world.
Yeah.
There are so many funny things you could do to get rid. This is, the show they're doing probably had lots.
Yeah.
The show that they're adapting probably had quite a few in the 7 seasons they ran for.
They could have just bought a monster truck.
They could have bought a monster truck. They could have bought a DeLorean monster truck and not had the guy from Back to the Future in it. They could, like, that in of itself is fine. If Christopher Lloyd's not in it going, this seems familiar, when he's in the DeLorean.
It's honestly, it's just kind of a, it's like the episode was made so it would get picked up for another season. And the creators were like, the only way this is going to get picked up for another season to guarantee it is if we push that we've got Christopher Lloyd in this. That's clearly what they were thinking. They're like, well, we'll do this one, mention him constantly. Fucking insane.
But and also, who's it for? Because this is 2012. I mean, Back to the Future is a famous, big famous movie as well. But like young people that may not have seen it.
Or who didn't care.
Yeah, who didn't care. Like they're not, it's not like a subtle joke here and there. There's like 7 jokes.
Yeah.
It's and they're gonna so be like, profoundly. Why are you talking? Yeah, if you're watching this and you haven't seen, you don't know Christopher Lloyd. How strange of an experience that would be.
Oh my God,
like, why is that funny that the old man thinks that Christopher Lloyd is dead?
Yeah, that someone I've not heard of is dead.
Why do they? I have one theory, though. It's not a real one. It's just a joke one. My one theory is, what if this is the pilot for a show? What if this isn't the form breaking? What if the idea is every one of their get rich quick schemes is related to one of their previous films? What if every episode was meant to be like, oh, what if we sell drugs? And then they keep making Spun references?
Yeah.
Or what if they're like, oh, I just got cast in a production of Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be such a fucking drainer.
What a strange show that would be.
I always like to try, like, you actually said it about, if I think back 3 years ago, when we watched a particular very small kind of indie film that he'd done. And you were like, you've got to kind of take into consideration like how important this project might be for a person.
Yeah,
like a first time director. It was a first time director's thing, right? I've forgotten what movie it was. It was like
Some bullshit.
It was shit. Some bullshit, right? I don't remember what the fuck it was. But and so I always I've remembered that. And so I try and always watch everything as like, this was important to somebody and I don't want to completely shit on it. Occasionally on this podcast, nearly 3 years deep.
Yeah.
There have been 2 or 3 times where I've just been like, I did not like this.
It's okay.
Make it 4. I did not like this.
It's all right, Mish.
And I would be willing to bet that, like, I mean, this wasn't released by the network. It's like, hey, if you want to watch this pilot, here you go. This was like uncovered by some secret source and released to the internet.
Yeah.
Because it's so deeply embarrassing how bad this show was.
This show feels like. I remember there was a review. Did you have this is an odd reference, but did you ever hear a movie called Wagons East?
No,
John Candy. It was John Candy's last film.
Yeah, right.
And he died during the production of the film, and they used they spliced footage of him into it. You know that what you know they used footage that they'd already shot to splice him into other scenes, and there was a famous I think it was a Roger Ebert review, a famous negative review where he said like he genuinely thinks that maybe the movie I'm butchering the whatever he said, but to paraphrase, he was like I think that it was made by aliens who understand sort of the rhythms of comedy, but don't understand what it is.
Mm. Yeah.
Like they understand, oh, if a person falls over, that's a comedy thing. So like have that happen 17 times.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what this show felt like. It felt like at no point, more than any other sitcom I've ever seen, it felt like the laughs were just like, and put a laugh after that sentence because then it's a funny sentence. Like it was just like, oh, I'm going to, what do you like? Think about my new jacket. And then it's like, it was like that bit of The Simpsons where he's like, Smithers, I'm home. Like, it's just...
The laughter in this was fucked. It was like stop, start. It was awful.
But there were even times where it was a little lackluster. There were even like there's one point where Christopher Lloyd walks in and the audience isn't quite sure whether to treat him like a Kramer or not. So there's like
in this like silly little tracksuit. But no, you're so right. It's like, oh, poo jokes are funny. Jokes about poo, like toilet poo jokes.
Mm.
Well, let's do four of them.
Then, yeah.
Because they're funny. Yeah. And there were like seven Back to the Future references, four poo jokes. And I'm all for a poo joke.
Yeah, mate.
A well-timed, well-placed poo. You guys get it.
Yeah.
This is a room of people that can appreciate a joke about poo.
You know, I've dabbled in
poo joke.
Humor like that on occasion.
Yeah. We can appreciate a poo joke. But when you just throw four in, just because the concept of poo is funny.
Oh, yeah.
Also, and this is something I discovered from doing this podcast.
Mm.
If the pilot ended with every single one of those characters killing themselves, I wouldn't have cared.
No.
I had no investment in anyone.
Yeah.
And to me, like especially with television shows, I have to give a shit about somebody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
have to be invested in someone for it to be successful. If you look at Prison Break, right?
Mish loves Prison Break.
I love Prison Break. Did you like Prison Break?
I've never seen it.
Oh, you simply must.
But I once broke out of a prison.
Oh, well, then you'd get it.
I was in there for killing a boy.
Did you?
This is the problem with comedy, right? Sometimes you think of something and it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not good. But like if they had thought of that in The King of Van Noise, they would have gone, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a joke. It's in.
100%.
First thought.
Without a doubt.
First thought, check it in.
But I hated everyone in this, even Christopher Lloyd, for signing the piece of paper that said he would do this show.
Mm.
But it was just bad. And there were two female characters in it as well, and both of them were heinous. One of them was just the annoying ex-wife, but she had great breasts.
Mm.
And then another one was just a woman that doesn't exist, some like crazy woman who just needed to fuck John Leguizamo immediately in the bathrooms, where she was like pushing him against walls and ripping his clothes off and biting his tongue. And he was like, oh God, no, this is just, wow, too much. And she's just like, I absolutely must fuck you in this public toilet.
Yeah.
That was her character arc.
And there's a guy, and they bust in on a guy who's sitting on the toilet in a pub reading a newspaper and drinking a beer.
Taking a shit.
What world? What world is this? What place is this?
It was very strange.
I really love, I think this makes me want to go on like a pilot run because there's something the thing about American sitcoms. Yeah, yeah.
That's a podcast.
The thing about American sitcoms is they're all about character. Like they're all about characters that you love and almost all the jokes I feel like are about, oh, they would say that. Or there's this tone of like, oh, that is their dynamic.
Mm.
So there's something so desperate and like rough, even about
pilots for good shows that are so weird. Mm. And this has this where it's just like, oh, my ex-wife. And you're like, we have not established, but particularly that guy. Mm. The guy doing the shit, the suicidal man who, like, lost his job, who's meant to just be, like, the norm of this bar. Mm. Mm. It's just like, who is this man?
Yeah,
like,
Knowing what I know about the production of television.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that this is one of those situations where it potentially was a good idea. People were passionate about it, and they were passionate about it enough to get meetings and to get things up. And then people that wear suits in the network or whatever were like, what if you change this and what if you change that and what if you do this? And then eventually it got to the point where deals were signed and money was in people's pockets. And there was about 70,000 cooks in the kitchen, and everyone went, let's just finish it and get it done.
Yeah.
It's a project made with no one, like, people are long since dead inside, and they just get it done.
This is like when you said, you know, you like, someone cares, and that's why you don't want to, like, badmouth it. Like, I don't think any of the creatives involved in this were proud of the product they made.
Oh, no, you can't
the suits fucked this. Yeah, you know it.
I couldn't agree more, 100%. The people I feel sorry for is, like, the dude who played his brother, who I looked him up, Darren Yabarrow or something like that. Mm.
This would have been his shot.
Yeah, this was like, oh, my God, I'm working with John Leguizamo and Christopher Lloyd on a show that's just been picked up by a big network, like, for a pilot or whatever.
Mm.
And then to watch that back and just be like, oh, my God.
Not just watch that. I reckon it would have been read the script and being like, oh, this is not what they promised me.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon even the script, I reckon there's probably a draft of this pilot that's better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they're like, what if we put a DeLorean in it? And someone else said that.
Yeah. Well, it's even, there's a draft that's better. There's even, like, and it's because this is what, 2012?
Yeah.
There's definitely nobody wanted a laugh track in this.
No.
I guarantee you. Yeah. Nobody who created it wanted a laugh track in it, but someone at the network says, it's got to be a laugh track. Otherwise, how will they know when to laugh? And then they've added, and then it's just gone downhill from there.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, legit.
Slowly by slowly, because it's the hope that kills you, right?
I think
slowly,
that's actually, yeah, 100%.
It's the hope that kills
you. Bit by bit. The people that hoped that it would be good started to, and I think everyone at a certain point went, oh, it sucks.
Mm.
We know it sucks. Just do it and then get paid and move on to the next project.
100%.
That's
100%. That is exactly.
This is a shame.
That is exactly what happened. I didn't even consider that. I just assumed there was someone who was like, this is the shit. And it's like, no one actually probably felt
No, this is,
you,
like,
can't watch this. It's not like you watch this and go, that is the worst television show I've ever seen. You watch it and you're just like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Like,
I reckon when you go back to the idea of someone sat down, John Leguizamo, and they're like, we want to do this iconic British sitcom about working class people or even lower class people trying to get out of that, you know, and it's funny and it's sad and it's about family, but we're going to change it. We're going to make it about Latinos. We're going to, like, shift the tone and the style. He would have gone, that's the best fucking show I've ever heard in my life. Yes, I'll do that.
Mm.
I reckon my Sid the Sloth's going to start drying up soon. I need another constant paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And then just step by step by step. And I reckon when they said, we're going to do a DeLorean monster truck, I don't think that was, I think he signed the paper before DeLorean monster truck.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
And then he said that and they were just like, that's a shame. But I do think when they made it, there was a bit of their back of their mind of, hopefully we get the series and we can work it out. Like, hopefully they see what's good and then we can make it. And then by season two, this is a killer show. That's what I reckon.
The good old days.
It's rough.
Could happen.
It was rough. Mm. It was a real rough watch. Mm. And I'm so glad for our sake, Zach, that we don't have other episodes of this to watch.
There's not a whole series.
There's not a whole. Imagine if they'd gotten the money for a whole series. You know what I mean?
Well, that maybe they would have figured it out.
What's a really good pilot?
A really good pilot?
Yeah.
Pilots are rarely good. Pilots are hard.
Mm.
Pilots are very, because you've got to introduce all the characters plus do a plot.
Yeah, Buffy.
Is that a good pilot?
Yeah, it's a great pilot.
Buffy.
Buffy. What's a good pilot?
Is a pilot if it's episode one, but like the whole series was commissioned? Is it still a pilot?
Rarely. No, it's
Do you
more
call it a pilot or do you just call it episode one?
No, yeah, that's just episode one. I think a pilot is where they at least write it to be considered. Do you know a great pilot? Sorry, Mish, is Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Sorry.
Wrong.
But that is a great pilot.
Okay. Okay.
But no, rarely are they good. Even like great shows, like I think I've read about, what's the 30 Rock, apparently, their pilot. They did one pilot that you can watch scenes from and it's weird. It's different cast and everything. Mm. And then even the pilot that was for the show that got made is still rough because you've got to introduce all these characters.
Yeah,
that's
true.
You've got 22 minutes to introduce 10 characters and then have them go on a little adventure.
Yeah.
Mm. It's not conducive to...
It's wild. Like, even the Seinfeld pilot was pretty bad. The first episode of Seinfeld. But also, like, it's just wild. Imagine that time when you could just be like, oh, it's just a show about, like, stuff I reckon. And me and my mates, we just sort of talk about stuff we like. And, like, and it'll find its feet. Imagine that. Imagine world in which a TV show, a TV network would go, yeah, cool.
Yeah, give it a go.
Let's
trust
do
you.
It. We trust you.
That's the thing about America is it's like we talk about pilots. Season ones are really good. Like tell me a sitcom where the first thing you do, when you tell someone to watch it, the first thing you don't say is not, you got to get through season one.
Yeah, get through season one. Season one sucks.
But I love that idea of like, I reckon there's legs in there. Like, could you imagine it? I don't want to get too, but could you imagine an Australian executive saying, I reckon there's something in this.
Yeah, I believe in it.
Are you guys Breaking Bad fans?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Apparently that, based on this website, is the best pilot.
Do you know, I was actually going to point to that as one. I disagree because the whole point of that show, I was actually going to say it as a bad one because the whole point of that show is that it's like a glacial change in character, that it's the idea of a character who, you know, makes a choice and then very gradually gets more and more in it. And I think that the pilot goes too far. Like the pilot to kind of hook people in and do all the things that a pilot does, it escalates too much and he kind of lands towards the where they almost have to pull it back. Like shit goes down in the pilot that shouldn't happen in that story until the end of season one, I reckon.
I definitely go. I reckon like Breaking Bad, that's why you watch Better Call Saul.
No, I haven't yet, but I've heard.
God, I'm rewatching it now. I definitely, I mean, it's like you can't say one's better than the other, I think. Yeah. It's not, but it is better. It's so good, and they don't have to rush because they already have, you know, the legacy and everything, and things can happen at their own pace.
And
I actually think Better Call Saul goes for additional. How many seasons is Breaking Bad? Like five?
Five. I think,
yeah, because Better Call Saul is six.
Yeah, wow.
And Breaking Bad could have easily gone for an additional season at the start.
Yeah.
Get into it slower because they really had to hook you in, and it worked. I mean, we were all like, oh, cool, this is good. And maybe... I wouldn't have gotten hooked if they hadn't.
That thing of like in the... Do you know, because it's really funny because I remember with Better Call Saul, the first two seasons of it, people were like, it's a bit nothing. It doesn't really have the same. Mm. And then by the time it finished, everyone that was watching it was like, you have to watch this. It's as good as, if not better.
Which
tells me that they did exactly what you're describing.
They took it slow and it wasn't like, it's so good from the start. I stand by that, but it's also like, it's not, the stakes aren't nearly as high.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, especially in the first couple of seasons, it's not like Breaking Bad where it's like, you know, international, like, big time guy, adult daddy. I don't know what I was. I couldn't. I started losing
Greg,
my train of thought.
We've given you permission to do it. Just fucking do it. You don't need to win us. We
just
get it.
Need to get one more quick plug in for adult daddy.
We get it, Greg. You got to stop fucking. We've already greenlit for you, mate.
You're a successful guy, but I don't know if I need to tell you this, but you should promote your real podcast. No.
Fuck anything I'm doing. Don't come. Don't listen to me. Don't look at me until adult daddy exists. I don't want to be seen or spoken about.
Do we have any final thoughts?
No.
I'm so glad it just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I'm so upset that I watched it.
Yeah. I feel my heart goes out to Dustin Ybarra.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I thought, because I was like, that's a new comedian. He hadn't done much before it.
Yeah.
And I reckon he was like, this is it. And I could see the drinks with his friends. Mm. I could see the phone call with his mother.
In a sitcom, yeah, starring role.
And then watching it and just being like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
it's
not.
Sad.
Sad.
It's a sad time. But that's the thing about the I was going to say podcast, the pilot, is it's not like, oh, man, this is so bad, it's funny. This isn't The Room. It's just like, oh, it's just a really boring sitcom that was clearly too many cooks in the kitchen, and it has seven Back to the Future jokes in it when Christopher Lloyd's in it.
Which is ridiculous.
Why?
So at the end of every episode, we give a Leguistamo rating. I'd like to make it very clear to anyone who hasn't listened before, a Leguistamo rating is not a rating out of five in terms of what we thought of the episode. It's more so how Leguizamo-y it was. Mm. And do you mind if I go first?
Yeah.
Despite the fact he was the lead role, despite the fact he looked great, and he's still a phenomenal actor, I am still only going to give this 2.5 Leguistamos because I feel like they stripped any Leguizamo-ness away from it. Could have been played by somebody else. I didn't feel a lot of him in it. Mm. And, I'm giving it 2.5 Leguistamos.
That's fair, Mish. I'll jump in now and I'll say, you described it as as a Dad Guizamo dressed up as Hollywood Guizamo, which I actually think, that's a fair point. But I really do think this is a great example of Daddy Guizamo. He's really working that jacket in the first scene.
You're a dog. Yeah, go on.
No, and I think I really do agree with you, Mish. I really do agree with you that this... He's playing a Latino swindler. This should have been sexy. It should have been fun. It should have been spicy. And we got none of that.
Yeah.
And for that alone, I think I give it 2 Leguistamos.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought you were going to do some sort of dick thing.
Where I gave it 5
Leguistamos. But I'm going to give it 5. Yeah.
Would you have been legitimately upset if I gave it 5?
Yes, because when you do that, people are like, I'm with Zach. Because it doesn't matter what, like, I'm with Zach. Maybe you didn't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, right. I didn't know I was creating that kind of discourse. maybe I should start getting on the Instagram and if there's a negative discourse.
Just diffusing some situations that have been created in our DMs. Thank you, Greg.
I don't understand what it's Leguistamo.
Is the
rating? What's the star? All right, isn't it Leguizamo?
So it's a Leguistamo. How many Leguistamos do you give it out of 5? Yeah. So for example, have you seen Romeo and Juliet? Baz Luhrmann's.
Yeah,
that's a 5 Leguistamo film.
No, no, I understand. Yeah. What I'm confused about is the name Leguistamo versus Leguizamo.
Stars. 5 many stars.
Oh,
5 Leguistamos. It's a pun on the stars. One of our listeners.
It's quite clever, really.
Yeah. One of our listeners came up with it and we forgot who, so we never credit them.
Leguistamos. So, okay, so if it's, it's based on the Leguizamo. How Leguizamo is this?
How Leguizamo we?
Piece of art.
Yeah.
I would say it relies too heavily on the Christopher Lloyd and the Back to the Future.
Mm.
It doesn't have a sense of feeling. It feels like just another sitcom. It doesn't have a sense of feeling unique. And when I think of Leguizamo, I think of unique.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't have any. The Leguizamo-ness for me is there in the sense that he is cast in it.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So the bare minimum for me is 1 Leguistamo.
Okay.
Yeah,
and there's great. 1 Leguistamo. There's 1 Leguizamo in it.
Mm.
But the thing has nothing of what I love about Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
just
great.
By merely having the shell of John Leguizamo gives it a 1-star.
Yeah.
If there was if Leguizamo did a film where he like played a clone. There was a clone of and there was 2 Leguizamos in it. Would that automatically have a base score of 2 Leguistamos
But here's the thing: I've just imagined a film, and stop me if this is a bad film.
Yeah,
is it Multiplicity?
It's no,
because I was definitely thinking of a combination of Multiplicity and End of Days.
Yeah,
this is less thought out than either of those. This is. It's called Leguizamo, Leguizamo, Leguizamo. And it just starts off with like John Leguizamo standing there, and you can hear a beat, and he's looking at the camera just bopping his head like this.
Yeah.
And he's just going, one Leguizamo, one Leguizamo. And then another one goes, and pops out of him, and then the two Leguizamo. And they're slowly marching towards the camera.
Yeah.
And then another one like pops out of them, and it's like it. It's whatchamacallit? What do they call it?
Yeah, where it it's so you go from one to two to four, yeah, to four eight. To eight to,
yeah, before you know 16. It, you've got trillions and trillions of Leguizamos.
That's a great fucking film.
They're just smart.
So you're saying that based on that, on your then there's nothing wrong with this grade. I'm not coming for you. Based on your scoring system, that would instantly be five Leguizamos because you can't go higher and there's trillions of him.
Yeah. Well,
because I would suggest that despite the fact there's a lot of Leguizamo in that film you're
serious?
Describing.
Would you seriously give for any by any... I think by any system we have ever developed around Leguizamos, Mitch... The film that Greg has just described is an automatic five Leguizamo.
There's nothing but Leguizamo. There's nothing beyond.
There is no, I cannot imagine.
That is Leguizamo distilled to its purest form.
I was being devil's advocate. Yeah, I'm saying.
If you got Leguizamo and you evaporated all the moisture and then you ground that into a powder.
Condensed
it and then compressed that powder into a single tiny little grain. That's what this movie is. It's the most, it's nothing but Leguizamo.
Greg, I can't tell you if I was an executive, right? Yeah. You're talking at the two people. If we were executives and we were at the opposite end of the table and you pitched that movie to us, you would be the luckiest boy in the world because we would give you the money to make that film.
That's wild.
Because we love John Leguizamo on this podcast.
You know, I'm starting to pick up on that. And I think that, you know, like as much as, you know, we've shit on the suits in the networks and stuff, that's probably why you aren't executives and why you should never be. Because that movie would lose so much money.
That's fucked.
Well, it depends how much you spend on it.
Also, that's true. It can't cost that much to make.
But how long is the movie?
An hour and a half.
Oh, so it's an hour. I was thinking it's like a 9-minute YouTube clip, but no, this is an hour and a half.
No, it's an hour and a half. You've got to get to trillions.
Firstly, I don't think it would cost very much to make.
Yeah, you just got to get a white psych. You pay him with back end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Yeah.
So it's not costing that much. And I'm sorry. That's going viral. That's going to be people are going to be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah, totally. And if you're worried about having too many Leguizamos on screen just because of like literally a computer that can't handle that processing power, you can stop when it gets to like to as many as you want, as many as you can physically handle on that rig, and then just have them just start looking at each other going Leguizamo, hoo ha, Leguizamo, and then just that.
Yeah, that's pretty Leguizamo-y.
Yeah,
it's all pretty, pretty strong. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Greg.
Greg, thank you. You've got a new podcast.
I've got a new podcast. It's called "Will You Be My Adult Daddy?" I have a podcast called The Greg Larson Show, but I will. It's called The Greg Larson Show. It's about. It's nothing. Seinfeld. Hello. It's just a podcast where each week I do a funny thing, and I'm definitely going to do an episode where I ask people to be my adult daddy.
I love that so much.
Definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
It's a fun little podcast, and I'm also doing a live show that's coming up.
Great.
It's called Revolting. I'm doing it in Perth, Melbourne, Sydney. Hello, Adelaide.
Yeah.
See it. It's great. Good.
Yeah. Fuck great. Yeah.
Google Greg Larson for details.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the pod,
Greg.
It's always
you.
A big ask when we ask mates on to, and watch, make them watch something.
Yeah, yeah.
Without exactly, this was one of those examples where I didn't exactly explain to Greg what the podcast was about. I was just messaging him. I was like, hey, Greg, want to do our pod? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, watch this. And then fucked off out of that situation.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Tom, can you please take us away with, hey, Tom, it's been a while. Since you've had to do an outro, okay? Can you please create some theme music for Adopt Me Adult Daddy? Greg produced for his podcast and just end the episode with that. Thank you so much. Daddy, are you gonna come my way?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.